of myself, I would have loved to have come this morning and spoke about the second coming, the rapture, some of the deep things that we discover in Scripture. But I found that all week, as I've waited on God, He stripped me right down. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? I wanted to come with kind of deep teaching, and I felt kind of stripped. And so just for a short while, I want to go back to basics. And I want to speak to you about when Jesus says, I love you. You can't get more basic than that. And you see, when the Lord comes to search His church, and we read about that in the book of Revelation, He doesn't come looking for intellect. He doesn't come looking for how good you can debate Scripture. He comes looking for love. He comes to measure the depth of our love and whether or not it's gone into the state of being lukewarm. Our passion and our love for Jesus hardly ever gets us obeying Him anymore. We're more asking God to help us to get what we want rather than us to say to God, what do you want? And so very basically, very, very simply this morning, I want to talk about when Jesus says, I love you. Will you come with me to the scripture reading? I'm not going to read all the verses that I was going to read because of the time. It's in Romans chapter 5. Some of them will be very well known to you. And instead of going from verse 1, I'm going to read from verse 6. Just to verse 10. Romans 5, verse 6 to verse 10. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Amen. While we were still sinners, nothing lovely about us, nothing, no talent, no nothing, nothing that I could lay before God to say, look, Lord, this is me. You need me. I'd be a good one of these or one of them. I could run this for you in the church. Let them recognize me. There was nothing at all, friend. However multi-talented you are, whatever distinctions you've got, I want to say there was nothing to commend you or me to God. Nothing. That hymn writer said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply To thy cross I cling. When the Apostle John was writing his letter, he said this in the first letter, the first epistle, chapter 3. Behold, what does behold mean? Look. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Come and have a look at the kind of love. I know this, brother. You know, I can switch off now. Nice to want to say, come and have a look at the kind of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We are living in the days when our television screens are filled with the fighting, the wars, the bloodshed, the carnage, the unbelievable things that we are seeing on our TV screens. This is modern man's answer. This is modern man's answer to how to settle a dispute. This is how we in modern days are going to settle the disagreements we have with that person, that nation. We're going to throw a few bombs and we're going to blow one another out of the water. If God had armed himself, if God in heaven, angry with the sins of the people, had have thought in heaven above, I'm going to sort them. I'm going to sort how they act. Their business, their jealousies, I'm going to sort it all out. I'm going to go and destroy them all. My friend, we'd have been lost forever. There'd have been no answer. And yet the greatest battle, the greatest fight that history ever records took place on a hill outside of Jerusalem. There has never been a battle like that one. There has never been a time when engaged in the battle was the greatest forces known to mankind and known to heaven above. When you think that hanging outside of Calvary, there Jesus is hung on a cross. But what you don't see with the human eye is the battle that was engaged with the forces of hell. How on that, outside the city walls, engaged in battle, is the physically weakened Son of God. And that was the time when all hell was to take advantage. Every prince of the wicked world of hell was summoned to that hill. North, south, east, west, the princes that ruled over nations spiritually. They came to that hill to engage the fight that man could never fight. The armies of mankind would never have won. And they come to engage the battle. I don't know about you, but some of the people that have hurt me the most told me they love me the most. I've had people say, you know, we love you, don't you? And while they're saying we love you, they're looking over there. And I'm like that, kind of looking at them and saying, hey, I'm here. If you love me, tell me to me face. But sometimes people, it's just a word, it's just a saying. You know, every so often we go and buy one of those Hallmark cards. Do you know what I mean? You go into the shop and you buy one of them that says all this lovely stuff that you could never say because you won't know how to say it. But it's trying to tell the person that you're sending that card to how much you really love them. And yet the one that sends it walks out on us a few weeks later. And the love often, when tested, when coming under the scrutiny, is only words. And we know sometimes, friends, even the words we give to God, and I say this very respectfully, are pretty cheap. I love you, Lord. Where was you last week when I needed you? We mentioned to each other in the prayer meeting on Friday, and I'm going to dare to say it. My friend, if the world is in such a state, if we say, God, we love you, and we're asking you to save the world, what does the world have to get into before we, the people of God, come together to seek His face with all of our hearts, instead of just on a Sunday saying, love you, Lord? My friend, love means something. Love demands something. Love will motivate us into being what God asks us to be in this generation. And I don't know what else has got to take place before God's people are found on their face before the Almighty. I want to say, when Jesus says He loves us, He doesn't speak it from down here somewhere. He speaks it from the highest places. Unashamedly, He declares from the heavens how much He loves the people on earth today. If you want to check on how much He loves His church, then I want to say, just start being in His presence a bit more and you will start to realize how much He is passionate about His bride. He doesn't just say on a Sunday morning to all of us, I love you, and then goes on His way for the rest of the week doing His own thing. He loves us so passionately. And He's looking that His bride returns the love back to Him. And in the earth today, the churches need that fire of the passion of the love of Christ to burn like it's never burned before. Your Romeo might have played his guitar at the bottom of your tower. Twang, 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 twang. And called up, I love you, because it's Valentine's Day. But I want to say, when Jesus says He loved you, He was willing to put something behind those words. He was willing to give everything when He said He loved you. When God the Father said He loved the world, it meant something more than even just words. for God to love you and me, He had to pay the highest price. For God to love my soul, He came to the lowest places. Can you imagine on the day when Jesus is coming to earth? Can you imagine what took place in heaven when the angels would look on aghast? What's going on? Where's our King going? Heaven opens its great doors and down to a stable comes the blessed Son of God. The angels must have been absolutely, can I use a bit of Yorkshire, gobsmacked as they saw this, that they didn't understand that the God who said He loved was willing to pay the greatest price. I don't know, but maybe your father told you how much he loved you when you was a little boy or when you was a little girl. That was the last time you saw your father. That was the last time you heard those words that I love you. Because the only thing you did was to look out of your curtains and you saw Dad reversing his car and you've never seen him again. When my Father who is in heaven said He loved me, I want to tell you today, I'm still living in the power of that love. At 20 years of age, God took another rebellious young man. Pastor John has been telling us He took another one. And I thank God that He melted my heart with His love. And I can tell you, friend, today we're not boasting in ourselves. I want to tell you that love has motivated me all over the place into some of the deep, deep crises of life. I thank God the love of God has protected me, preserved me, and motivated me to serve Him more today than I did last year. To seek His face more than I've ever sought in my entire life. To spend this week, hour after hour after hour, just saying, oh God, take my simple words, take the utterance of my lips and my heart, and say something to Your people. Don't let them just come Sunday morning and sit and hear and go and forget, and it's just another week. When the world is in deep crises, every human being needs love. I've told you the story before, but I know somebody's here who's never heard the story. I don't know your name, I just feel it. And I remember in the prison that day when I got that telephone call. And the prison officer is saying, can we send this particular man to you? Yeah, you can send him. This guy's the baron of the prison. That's what the prisoners called him. They didn't do any other than respect him. He's a big guy. He strutted his stuff. He was known to don't mess with me. But this guy came into my office. And I knew his reputation. And I'm wondering, what are we going to do? How am I going to answer whatever he's going to ask? And instead of asking me questions, he stood there and tears began to well up in his eyes. Prisoners don't cry. If you cry, it's known as a weakness. And the rest of the wolves will hound you. If they see a flaw, that they interpret as a weakness, they will hound you. But I got this big guy that's known for everything else than weak. And he's got tears in his eyes. And he looked at me and he said, Pete, why didn't me dad love me? And he said it with passion and hurt. He said it with all the feelings of rejection inside of him. Why didn't me dad love me? And I looked into the eyes of this big guy. And I think I was more shocked than he was shocked saying it. I looked and I realized for the first time, maybe ever, everybody needs love. However tough, whatever the image, however much you cover it and hide it up, every single person in this room today, they need love. And they need the quality of love that is not just words, not just some action one day, but is something that you can stand upon, something that you can take and build your life upon. And when God says that He loved the world, my friend, He loves you more than my feeble words could ever express. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave and He gave and He keeps on giving. And I don't know why He loves the world today. If I was God, I'd obliterate the lot of them. I wouldn't let them mess my earth up no more. He created, He made it beautiful. When we go out to the mountains, when we go down to the seashore, when we look at the thing, He made it beautiful. And the more we're living in it, we are messing it up. And if somebody came into your back garden and trampled everything that you've been working on for months, years, that wonderful little play area for your children, and I came and kicked it and trampled the sand, and I don't think you'd come out and just say, "Would you like a cup of tea?" I think you'd be angry. I think you would be really angry. And my friend, we are messing up God's world. Look at your news today. We are messing up God's world. It's not my world. It's not your world. It's God's world. And we've messed it up. How far does this love extend? Well, I know one day when Jesus was ministering, them religious lot, yeah, I did say that. You say, well, I can't talk about us like that. I hope I'm not talking about anybody here. I said religious lot. You're not religious, are you? My friend, if you're religious, come and get saved. Religion cried, called for the crucifixion of my Lord. Religion was never a friend to Jesus. And while He was ministering, bless Him, the religious lot brought the woman caught, got her red-handed in adultery. Threw her at Jesus' feet and said to Jesus, what are you going to do with her? What are you going to do with her? We know what we would do with her, said the religious people. and with stones in their hands, they were ready to carry out their threat. They were ready to do what religion does. It condemns. Religion will condemn you. Religion will take its stones ready to throw at you. But I thank God that love divine on Friday, we had a crowd of the younger ones and a few little older out there as we came into the prayer meeting. Somebody's daughters, somebody's sons. Some of them looking rough, to say the least. But my dear friend, I know what Jesus would do. I know He wouldn't throw a stone. I